The recent popular uprisings that we've seen in the Middle East and in North Africa have focused the world's attention on the role of social media, such as Facebook and Twitter, in coordinating political movements and in driving social and political change. From your perspective in Egypt, what role did social media actually have in the revolution?
It's important to understand that social media did not invent the revolution. I believe they merely expedited what was predestined to happen. The revolution was the result of decades of work by human rights activists, defenders, political activists, opposition figures, and many, many people who spent years in jail and had a hard time and had to give up their personal security and live an unpleasant life, actually, just for going out to a demonstration or writing or publishing something or voicing an opinion. So we can fairly say that social media helped organize and spread the reach out to other places outside Cairo, maybe. And as I said, expedited what was predestined to happen. We also cannot ignore the role of the labor movement in the Egyptian revolution. It was not just pro-democracy activists, you know, upper middle class people. It's not just a democratic bourgeois movement. It has more root to this coming out from the labor movement and the workers.
So a critical component of these new technologies is the ability to capture through videos and photos, human rights violations in real time. What do you think that this means for the ability of civil society to monitor human rights abuses?
Of course, the civil society is now more able to monitor human rights abuses, but there's also growing interest. It's two things, it's the ability and it's the interest. And the interest, I think, has never been more or larger than what we have now. And it's not just human rights violation, it's also the press, the mainstream media. People are monitoring the state television and, you know, recording parts of it, making clips of what how the state television is manipulating the public, trying to manipulate the public opinion. So I think the Egyptians' average person is much more interested, is much more engaged, and is much more involved, and is using social networks to satisfy his own goals.
Many have said that minorities, including women, have had a better opportunity to get engaged and get these political movements going. Would you say that there is a gender component in these technologies?
Well, the statistics suggest that more women are using internet in Egypt rather than men, because the majority of the Egyptians are using PCs and telephone line dial-up connections at home. And the social composition in Egypt suggests that women stay home more than men. So they end up using internet more than men, actually. So yes, I think there is a gender aspect to the democratic movement online at the moment. And even offline, not just online, you can see in the streets there's been women all the time, despite the fact that the SCAF, or the Supreme Council for Military Affairs, they have done something that violates and threatens women participation in the political life, when they arrested some women who were camping in Tahrir sit-in, and they did virginity tests to them, which drove a lot of criticism by rights organization and international media. Here, at this exact incident was, we believe, targeting women participation, but women were there, they continued to be there, and they will continue to be there. So women are online and offline in the Egyptian movement.
If we look at traditional media, what role and what kind of synergies do you see between social media and the traditional forms of media?
Now I'm a journalist and I run an online news portal, and I tell you, we cannot work without social media. It's in a lot of times, the way we plan our operation daily is just by checking what's happening now and listening to all the tweets and the Facebook updates and following up what's happening in Egypt through the social networks. And then we can verify the news, send in our reporters, and And in many times we like contact the online bloggers and the citizen journalists to verify something or get more information. So I think there is a in the beginning when citizen journalism rose, there was sort of a competition in Egypt because, and not just in Egypt, I think worldwide, there was this sort of competition. But now I think it's more a comprehensive approach. So we know that we complement each other. No one can work alone. And when I was an activist, I knew that the target of any campaign I was making as a human rights activist was to reach out to the mainstream media, because this is really the point of success. This is where many people, the mass numbers, listen to your call. So now I'm in a better position, I think, to also work towards this complementing each other.
It's been said that social media is a double-edged sword, and that it can also be used to spread hate speech and other forms of sentiments that could actually undermine the democratic process. How do you see this, and what do you have to say about that?
I don't want to comment on social media being used to spread hate speech. I want to comment on the authorities or the the old regime, the previous regime, attempts to use social media to reorganize themselves. And I don't think that we should address the internet issue or put lines or underline the security of the regimes or the security of the nation. This is not the time to talk about this. This is not the right time to try to secure the regimes over the internet. I think, and let me tell you, for example, Omar Suleiman, the former head of the Egyptian Mukhabarat, there was a militia, I mean, an online militia paid, they were paid to make an online campaign for him to run for president. And my newspaper made an investigative report with a hidden cam video about this group and how they are getting paid to do this online campaign for Omar Suleiman. This is dangerous, I would say, but still we don't want any control to it. We don't want any control over the internet because such initiatives get exposed. And the internet, however organized and a group you are, when you address the internet, you become an individual. And then you engage more with other individuals. And the nature and the individualistic nature of the internet helps, actually. And the voices of freedom are the ones who succeed at the end. So I don't want to panic about security and hate speech. And so far, it is not a threat. And we shouldn't look at it. And the cost of controlling hate speech over the internet will violate and will harm much the free voices on the internet. So we should be careful when we are addressing this.
So the final question, are you optimistic towards the future in terms of the new government that one day will come to Egypt? Are you optimistic that we have learned from our mistakes and that we can use these social medias now in a more progressive way?
I'm optimistic in the ways the Egyptians are using social media. I think they will continue to use it even more creatively, and I'm hoping for more localization and Arabization of the social networks in the future. And as I said, we only need an Arabic Twitter hashtag to be able to really decentralize and mobilize the rest of the country. Of course, but about the general situation in Egypt, we are very concerned because now we have a puppet government, it's a puppet to the SCAF. And we will witness a puppet president probably in any upcoming elections if we continue moving on with this military control over the country. I'm personally a bit concerned about the future, but I'm also very, I trust the people who have carried the process so far, the Egyptians, the average Egyptians, and I'm sure they'll make good choices in the coming years.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.